Well, as we turn again here to the book of Romans and Romans chapter 12, looking again at these two verses, familiar verses. If you write in your Bibles, you might have them marked already. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Remember, we have entered this major change in the letter. So from Romans 1 through 11, these great doctrinal truths of a righteousness found in Christ alone and the joy of this salvation in Christ alone, to now in chapters 12 through 15, the application of that gospel. So as you have trusted in Christ, as you have become a Christian, therefore your life should show it. If Christ has taken a hold of your life and saved you, then there should be fruit and evidence of this. Your lives should be wholly given over to Him. The same gospel that saves is the gospel that transforms. Last Sunday, we looked at the first half of this transforming work in just verse 1. We explored how the gospel transforms the reality of the Christian soul. There, the first half of verse 1. And then second, we considered how the gospel transforms the purpose of the Christian's body. It's not something that we talk about all that often, of the actual physical bodies that God has given to us. But Romans gives us instruction here that as believers, even our physical bodies are to be given, stewarded, good handling of our bodies for God's glory, for His ministry, for His work. It's for Him. The right response towards God and salvation is to then live your life in your body as unto the Lord. And as the scripture told us there in verse 1, this is our right, our reasonable, our well-pleasing to God response to Him. Continuing in this passage this morning, then, we now consider the third reality of the transforming work of the gospel. And number 3, then, the gospel transforms the commitments of the Christian's mind. The gospel transforms the commitments of the Christian's mind. For this, we think about the first half of verse 2. Let me read that again. The scripture says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Just like we did last Sunday, let's think about each phrase and just make sure we've had that understanding right and then bring it together. So the passage then begins in verse 2, "Do not be conformed." So what does that mean? It means to conform one's life to shape one's behavior according to be shaped or molded to a particular pattern. You can think of the illustration of Plato. Or the silly putty. I don't know if that's even a thing. You could press it against a newspaper. Are there even printed newspapers anymore? You could press it against a newspaper. You could pull it off and it would be there. Or shaping that Play-Doh to look like a dog or a house or a blob even. Like, what is that? It's a blob. Duh. Shaping it like that. Molding it. That's the idea. Do not be conformed is saying like that, like being shaped and molded and formed. Do not. The opening words state clearly, do not be conformed like this. It's important for us to see, just like in verse 1, this is a command. It's an imperative. You, Christian, it's an understood you. You who believe, who confess to be a Christian, you do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to what? It continues. The passage says, to this world. The conforming has a particular shape in mind, and that shape is the world. So what does that mean? It means conforming to a particular age of the world, to its beliefs, values, and morals. So when it's referring to this world, it means the beliefs, the prevailing beliefs, the majority values, the morals of the day. Do not be conformed to the beliefs, values, and morals of the world around you. And it's specifically the world in distinction from God. So this is the idea, the biblical idea of godlessness, which means to live as if there is no God, or to live as if God has no bearing on the reality of life. Godless. So the world here means the isms of this world. Humanism. Secularism. We could add relativism. Or even as it's, although we are in a different phase now, but postmodernism. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And if they completely directly conflict, that's fine. So the isms, the beliefs, the values, the morals of your and mine are present day. Do not be conformed to this world. The opening of verse 2 continues, though. It says, but be transformed. So rather than being shaped into the mold of a present day's beliefs, values, and morals, born again Christians are to be transformed. It's the central idea of both verses. The word means to be changed, but this change is from the inside out. It's not an outward change. It's not an outward adorning. It's an inner change. It brings to mind of Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, how they would do everything right. They would wear the fancy clothes. Outwardly, it's like if we make the outward right, then we are right. But what does he say about them? You are filled with dead man's bones. That the inside of the cup, he says, clean the inside of the cup. Don't worry about the outside. Clean the inside. And when the gospel comes inside of a person, transformation begins. It's from the inside out. The classic illustration here is exactly right. It's like the picture of that caterpillar and the process of metamorphosis to become that butterfly. It's not that we take an unsuspecting caterpillar and we glue wings to the side of it. And somehow we're going to make it that way. We give it some nice paint and we look how pretty it is now. It's truly changed. It's completely transformed. So this is also a command. You, Christian, be transformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but you, professor of faith in Jesus, be transformed. Well, getting to the end of this then, okay, how? How is this? By the renewal. How will this transformation happen? It happens first, according to verse 1, through the gospel's transformation of the soul, lost in sin and darkness, raised in the light and life of Jesus Christ. So it's first there, but the transformation must continue. How does the transformation work continue? The word here is renewal. The word means to make like new, even with improvements over the original design. I'm not a huge eBay person. I know how it works, and I know Weird Al's great song about eBay. But you'll have to. I do know that you need to be very careful when you go to eBay, when you're going to buy something, and it says, as new, okay, or like new, okay? How you might define like new and how somebody else defines like new may be dramatically different definitions. This idea of renew, though, means truly new. It even means better than new. As you think about this, you think about the hobby craftsman or metal worker, where they have a design in mind and they're kind of chewing on it and they're thinking about it. And so they get in their shop and they build that first model, that first form. And every hobby woodsman, craftsman, metal worker, what usually happens? You look at it, you think about it, I could make that a little better. I think I'm going to try that again and make it just a little bit better than that. And so they do that. They have a particular design, a table, a chair. They build the first model. Not quite right. So they renew the design. They make changes. The second, third, the fourth one maybe hits the mark. They have the original design and the original pieces like new, but even better. It's a renewal. It's made new. It's made better than it was before. And what is being renewed? The scripture says, the mind. The what of being renewed is the transform in the Christian, is the Christian's mind. The idea does capture all, the person's intellect, thinking, the thinking that they hold to, that they operate by, interestingly enough, it's the same shape of the person's mind that shapes their beliefs, their values, their morals. So rather than be conformed to the world, this needs renewed through transformation. You can think about it like the railroad tracks going down the road as the train goes, or down the path, as the train heads down those railroad tracks, it just goes where the railroad tracks are laid. So these beliefs, these values, these morals in the mind shape the thinking, the patterns of thinking, the how we get to conclusions and operate, even at the subconscious level. And where is the only place where we can go for new and corrected thinking like this? The Scriptures. The place of renewal is the Scriptures. So let's kind of synthesize this together and then some application points from it. So of this opening line in verse 2, when a person becomes a born-again Christian by grace through faith in Christ alone, a radical and eternal change, transformation takes place. They're not the same person anymore. They're alive in Christ. They're rescued from the failing principles and guidelines of this present world. But the world does not give up so easily. Every Christian is constantly bombarded with the godless, unsaved world's beliefs, values, and morals. It's around us all the time. It's like that the river, flowing down the river. There you are in the canoe, just flowing with the river. You try to go upstream and you can feel the power of the current. The current is always there. The current of the values, beliefs, and morals around us and the culture around us, it's always flowing, always with power, always moving. And we feel it. But now born again, purchased by the blood of Christ, soul transformed by the gospel, the Christian must not conform to the world's pattern. It must not be true. The Christian must resist, must fight back, and must go in the opposite way. Well, how do we do that? How do we fight back and resist and go the opposite way? We do so by the ongoing transforming work of the gospel. And here, it looks like our minds renewed in the Scriptures. The old pattern of thinking equals death. That's why we've abandoned it. The new pattern of thinking equals life. So Romans 12, verse 2 commands every Christian to continue to be renewed in your thinking. Continue for your mind to be conformed to Christ and His Word, not this world. We need the ongoing new patterns of thinking. We've not arrived yet. There's still patterns of thinking in step with this world around me, not Christ yet. More needs renewed. And the gospel continues to transform the Christian. Okay, like I said last Sunday, let's get practical. Let's add some meat to this. So practically then, how does this apply to us today? Well, first, what are the ways in which this world tries to conform our thinking? So if we did this out loud, we could think through it out loud and we could get some answers. Your list and our list we'd build together, I think a lot of them would include some of these things. So how is the world around us seeking to conform our thinking? Well, by defining what is right and wrong, what's good and what's bad. It's doing that. By defining what you need to have a happy and successful life. We're constantly being conformed. Here's what you need. Defining justice and revenge and when both are justified. Or defining truth. Pilate's famous question, what is truth? Defining truth, even if there is absolute truth or not. We're around us, they're seeking to conform our thinking on how to parent children or how we regard and treat others around us. defining the roles for men and women, husband and wives, fathers and mothers, or are they all just interchangeable? Defining what in life has value and what in life doesn't. We're being conformed all the time of where to place your hope in life, in yourself, in your employer, in politics, in authorities, in the mob. Place your hope there. We're being conformed all the time of how to define race, ethnicity, and gender, and where they all belong in society. We're being conformed all the time to define who can commit crimes and still get away with it. It's just the beginning. And every single belief or value or moral issue, the world has an answer for you, has a position. It is not the position of God and His Word. Seeking to conform us, fall in line here. This is the way to go. Like, just thinking about yesterday of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these teenage boys, and there they are in Babylon, the giant golden statue. And they're supposed to, when the music plays, what are they supposed to do? Bow down and worship the statue. Do they do it? No. There's some artist renderings of this, and it shows this crowd bowing down and these three boys just standing there. No, they're not going to bow down. All around to conform, just go with this, fall in line. Or if you don't fall in line, just keep it to yourself, just keep it quiet, don't bother anybody else with it. So then, we need renewal. Do not conform. Do not fall in line with the morals, beliefs, and values of the world around you. Be renewed in the Scriptures. To do that, it's a two-step process. We need to stop the inputs of the world into our minds. Be transformed and plug in more of God's truth. So maybe some applications for us. Less news, more Bible, okay? Less, and then we kind of think, okay, yeah, the 24-hour news network, stop watching all that news. But how many of, like, I'm convicted about? Well, I get my news from Twitter. I refuse to call it X. I get my news there. I don't watch all those 24-hour news. I'm sophisticated in that. How about this one then? Less social media, more Bible. Or less people's opinions, more Bible. We need to stop the inputs that are coming at us, seeking us to conform to this world. We need to stop those, and we need more of God's Word. This isn't rocket science for us, right? How do we get more Bible into ourselves? Read it. We must read it. As we thought about in our Sunday school class this morning, we must memorize it, meditate on it. You need to believe it. Take action as the Bible calls us to believe and obey and or to avoid. We must read the Scriptures daily, throughout the day. Read the Bible. We need to listen to Bible teaching and preaching from trustworthy sources, and not all sources are trustworthy. We need to receive the teaching and the explanation of the Bible. We can read excellent books that helps us understand the Bible and apply the Bible to our lives. We can listen to, excuse me, no hiccups, please. We can listen to Christian music that helps us think on the Bible and believe the Bible. We can enjoy fellowship together with Christians. We could talk about what we're reading, the things that we're growing in. Talk about Christ and His Word. And one, sometimes we miss here, we can pray with other Christians. Pray together. Pray the Bible back to God. We need to get more of the Bible into ourselves, okay? Was there anybody that walked in this morning and said, yeah, you know, I'm pretty full with the Scriptures. I really don't need any more here today. Probably not. We need more of the Scriptures. We think about gospel-transformed minds. Gospel-transformed minds that produce grace-fueled spiritual growth, not legalism, not outward conformity, outward just falling in line and falling in step, but true transformation of the heart into the life. So the gospel transforms the commitments of the Christian's mind. What are the commitments of your mind? What are the non-negotiables of your belief? What do you value? What do you believe is morally right and morally wrong? Is it the Bible that's shaping your answers to those questions? Christian, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the regular, systematic renewal of your mind. His truth, His gospel, His grace. Daily commit your mind to God. Number four, then, in the end here of verse 2, the gospel transforms the discernment of the Christian's will. Number four, the gospel transforms the discernment of the Christian's will. Allow me to read again the end of verse 2. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let me break that down again and think about those words, those sections in just three pieces. So that by testing, you may discern. By testing, you may discern. Testing and discern are actually the same Greek word in that sentence, broken up in two pieces, but it's the same word. It means to examine, to test, to approve, to judge to be right or commendable, to think well of. The Christian must examine the truth. It reminds me of this short little video I've seen multiple times, and it's a husband, and he's standing there with his wife by the oranges, like in Aldi, and he's recording himself like this. And he's standing there, and his wife is filling up the bag of the oranges, and so he's picking up an orange, and he hands it to her. She tests it. No, she sets that one down. So then he reaches in the bag of one she already put in there. He pulls out one of those oranges. He hands it to her. She tests it. No, not good. And she just gets another one. Okay, wait a second. What's going on here? But there's testing, okay? Is this good? Is this the fruit we want to buy? It's examined. Approve. Yes, this is the one we want. And it goes in the bag. That by testing, you may discern. So to think well of, the Christian must examine what is true and what is not. That by testing you may discern what is the will of God. This phrase isn't tricky, but we want to be clear. This is the will or the perfect desire of God Himself. This gets a little bit outside of our scope here today, but when we think about God's will, there's two categories of that. One fits inside of the other category. So the large category of God's will is His sovereign will, okay, which cannot be thwarted, which cannot be stopped. It's what He wills and what He does. Inside of God's sovereign will is another, which we would say God's moral will. God's moral will can be rejected. It often is. God's moral will can be disobeyed or obeyed. So we can think about the gospel goes out, God's will to save, but not everyone believes, okay? So God's sovereign will over all things, and then God's moral will. Really what He has in mind here as He says this is that moral will. What pleases God? What is the right path? What is the right way for the Christian to live? And it's all of God is, His all-knowing, all-powerful, gracious, merciful, loving shapes this will of God. And what does He say about this will? He says it's good, it's acceptable, it's perfect. It's good. It meets the standard of moral excellence. It's good. It's acceptable. It's the same word we had earlier in verse 1. It's that which pleases. It pleases God. It pleases the one who follows it. There's joy in this path. It's acceptable, it's joyful, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. It means it's mature, it's complete. It doesn't lack anything. It has everything it needs. God's will is morally excellent. God's will is well-pleasing. God's will is perfect. It doesn't lack anything. So let's combine these. What is the second half of verse 2 saying? Well, what happens as the Christian is continued to be renewed in their mind through God's word? Well, as the Bible contains and expresses the will of God, that will of God begins to transform the Christian's will too. How they think begins to be formed to what God thinks. What they desire begins to fall in line with what God desires. As they discern things around them, they begin to discern that according to God's discernment, God Himself. The Christian whose mind continues to be transformed by the gospel will find that his will grows more in step with the will of God. And what does that look like? Well, the answer is found in that phrase, that by testing. The NASB says, so that you may prove. The idea is that the Christian is going through the Christian life and they're seeking to obey God and they see this works. God's way is right. God's way is best. And it's proven again and again and again. It's not just that they read and see and believe it, but they see, yes, God's way is best. And they also recognize the other way. As they encounter things in life and they're presented with these truth claims, so what is good and bad? What is good and bad here according to the scriptures? And they say, this isn't, something's off here. And God's way is proven true. This does not please the Lord. And so they walk in wisdom. One early way I believe this happens, it's especially seen maybe when somebody comes to saving faith a little bit later in life. It's just a little bit harder for children to recognize this, but perhaps later in life they become a Christian and they're going through and they start to recognize maybe there was some, what they believe to be a Christian speaker or author that they've listened to or that they've read, and they're reading or they're listening again, and they just, something doesn't sit right. They don't know how to define it. They can't articulate what it is, but I don't think this is right. And then a little bit of study, they go talk with an older Christian, and they see why, that it's right. The discernment starts operating by the Holy Spirit, even as the mind is continued to be renewed. God builds this in to our transforming to be like Christ. A transformed mind produces transformed discernment, which produces a life that is moment by moment lived in accordance to the will of God. So then let's again seek to apply this. What does this look like? Three quick ideas. Well, first, it certainly looks like obedience to God's clear instruction in the Bible, right? We don't have to be real complicated about this. Does God want us to tell the truth? Yes. Does God want us to use communication words that pleases Him and demonstrates building up others? Yes, okay? Does God want us to walk in moral purity? Yes. So the Bible tells us plainly to repent from sin, to flee sinful temptation. The Bible tells us plainly to confess sin when it happens against God and others. The Bible tells us plainly to tell others of Jesus, okay? To guard our speech, to pursue right relationships within the body of Christ. So how are we going to do this, the will inside of us, our life, to conform to God's will? Well, we need to obey God's clear instruction. That's how we're going to grow in this path. Second, we need a belief in God and His word as best and right and true. We are not going to walk down the path of our will conforming to the will of God if we always kind of stiff arm what God's word says. Yeah, I see it says that, but yeah, I see what you're saying of how, the decision I should make now, but you know, these are my circumstances, they're a little bit different. Or yeah, I want you to help get me out of this trouble, but I don't really want to do good. The Bible says here, we must believe His word. We must believe that His word is best. So what does that look like? To trust God when our thoughts and our emotions say otherwise. It means to trust that our identity is found in Christ, not our past, not our weaknesses, not our reputation. Our identity is found in Christ. It means to believe and trust that Jesus is enough for for all that you and I need. It means to believe that every word of the Bible is true, even the difficult parts. It means to believe that God's word will never lead you astray. It will never lie to you and will be the help you need today. Then last here, with this application side, growing in discernment and recognizing what is not in step with God's will. So how can we do that? We need to recognize the lies of this world. We need to practice biblical discernment. We need to recognize the subtle lies of Satan around us, recognizing the lies of sin. We need to recognize what is urgent may not be what is best. And then recognize that God's way is always best, even when we can't see it right now. The gospel transforms lives. And as the Christian's mind is renewed, the gospel continues to transform the Christian, even changing the discernment of the will to be in step with the Lord. He no longer lives for his own desires, his own beliefs, his own morals, his own values, his own interests, but he lives believing and trusting and recognizing that God's way is best. God's interests always glorify God and are always best for him. And he continues to grow as his whole life is given as a living sacrifice to the Lord. This is the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which transforms lives. It's not only that God saves us from sin, but God begins a process to make us new. Transformation like this is not step one to becoming a Christian. Do this and live. So have your mind renewed and live. Walk in step with God's will and live. Be a living sacrifice with your body and live. It's not do this and become a Christian. That's the old covenant of works. This is the new covenant of the gospel. Christ is the mediator. We come to Christ as we are. We come to Christ with what we have, which isn't much. And he does this work in us. He changes us from the inside out. So brothers and sisters, give your life to Christ. Buy into this transforming work he is doing in you. Do not grow weary in hoping for God's transforming work to also happen in those you love. Do not think that you have graduated such things of needing God's transformation. God's desire is to continue to transform you more into the image of Christ. And none of us are outside of God's grace to do so. Give your body as a living sacrifice to God. Commit your mind to be renewed in God's word. Submit your will to God's will. All as worship, as response to the one who has saved you, whose shed blood and broken body was given for you to make you his own forevermore. This is the path for gospel-transformed lives.